Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to BCF. So glad you're here, whether here together in the auditorium or online or in 160, the fellowship hall outside. What a joy to gather and to celebrate Christ and to dig into his holy word. If you're new or just checking out Christianity, a special welcome to you. We would love to get to know you. I'll be here after the service for any questions or simply to pray. And we ask that God would use this time to encourage you in your hunt for the truth of eternal life. We're continuing this morning in our study through 1 Corinthians. And as you may remember, we've titled this series, 1 Corinthians, The Church Getting It Right. And what we're going to see is as Paul works through this letter, Paul is dealing with complications and troubles and problems that have come up. And he lovingly, clearly deals with them so that the church might grow and reflect the reality of who we are in Christ. Today's passage, he continues on the theme of factions, divisions, and contention within the church. A very practical issue in today's culture. But like the master teacher, Paul addresses the believers there both with tenderness and with strength. And this for us is a great encouragement because all of us as spiritual strugglers need tenderness as we deal with the issues of our lives. But at times we need a strong word if we've grown complacent or cold or wandered away to draw us back to the truth of the gospel. And so let's dive this morning into our text. We'll be studying 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1 through 9. 1 Corinthians 3, 1 through 9. Please, if you don't have a Bible, there's one in front of you in the seat back. If you haven't got a Bible, please feel free to take that home. That's our gift to you. Otherwise, just enjoy it this morning. But we'll be opening the scriptures to chapter 3, verse 1 through 9. Paul says, "But I, brothers, could not address you as to spiritual people, but as to men of flesh, as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not yet ready for it. And even now you are not yet ready, for you are still of the flesh. For while there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not of the flesh and behaving only in a human way? For when one says, 'I follow Paul,' and another, 'I follow Apollos,' are you not being merely human? What then is Apollos, and what is Paul? Servants through whom you believed, as the Lord assigned to each one. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but God who gives the growth. He who plants and he who waters are one, and each will receive his wages according to his labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building." Let's pray. Father, how we thank you for this moment to pause, to sing your praise, to remember the wonder of your love poured out to us through the sacrifice of Christ. Thank you for the joy to gather and now to hear from your word. And we pray that your spirit would take this truth, apply it to our lives, and change us, that we might reflect more accurately the truth and the beauty of the gospel. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Today's message, in a nutshell, is this: God has designed every believer to mature, learning to live in the power and wisdom of the Holy Spirit. The aim of every believer is full maturity in Christ, whereas God's satisfied servants, we serve others on the road to maturity. We're going to look at this passage in three parts. First, Paul's tender rebuke, the expectation of spiritual growth. Secondly, we'll consider things that hinder our spiritual growth. And lastly, examples of spiritual maturity in both Paul and Apollos. So let's begin considering Paul's tender rebuke, the expectation of spiritual growth. You notice that Paul begins this section with a tender reminder. He calls them brothers and sisters, and he reminds us that we're God's family together. And as God's family, it is our responsibility to care for one another. But in the same way, as God's family, we need to understand it's only reasonable that in God's house, there are certain expectations that all of us need to live by. And then without missing a beat, he hones in and addresses their spiritual condition. He says, I, brothers, could not address you as spiritual people, but as men of flesh, as infants in Christ. Now, you remember last week as Jim walked us through chapter 2, we realized that Paul has given us there two categories for humanity. Category 1 is the natural man, separated from God, who cannot understand the things given to us by God because they're spiritually discerned. We saw, secondly, category 2, man who's now made spiritually alive by the Holy Spirit, and thus able to know, understand, and appreciate the things that God has freely given to us. And yet we see here in chapter 3, Paul opens for us another category. We'll call that category 3. But just before, mind you that when Paul talks about us being spiritual people, that's not necessarily exactly what the world means, our culture today, as being spiritual. I've had conversations with people who say, you know, I'm not a Christian, but I'm a spiritual person. And the fact is, a person may have interest in transcendental things, may have curiosity about the immaterial reality that surrounds us, but according to the scripture, we only become truly spiritual when God delivers us from being natural and makes us alive, awakening in us that dimension of our spiritual life so we can have communion with God and relate with him now and forever. So chapter 3, category 3, Paul talks about spiritual babies or fleshly Christians who are spiritually alive, but they're governed by earthly natural dynamics. Rather than being filled, guided, and empowered by the Holy Spirit, they allow their sinful nature to dominate. Remember in verse 2 and 3, Paul says, I fed you, past tense, with milk and not solid food. And this is very tender. You know, this was the day before baby bottles. And so Paul is painting himself in the role of a mother who, from her own body, is giving nourishment and tender resource to her beloved children. I fed you with milk because that's all you were ready for. How tender, how intimate of Paul. But you'll notice that he's communicating that physical life reflects the reality of spiritual life. And by this, God affirms that every believer takes time to mature. No one is born again into spiritual maturity. There's a need for time. We need nourishment. We need protection. We need care so that we can advance in this process of spiritual growth and ultimately become mature Christians. So be encouraged. God doesn't expect us to be mature believers overnight. He understands there's going to be time. There's a requirement for this process. And so if you're a new believer, don't be too hard on yourself. It's going to take time to grow up. And yet be committed to this process of growing as a child of God. That's why in BCF we want everyone to be involved, to be engaged in a community group, to be participating in the opportunities. At 9 o'clock, do you realize at 9 o'clock we break bread together every Sunday back in the chapel and we take time to reflect on the truth and the power of Jesus broken for us. There are adult electives. There are Sunday schools where gifted teachers are imparting the word of God. And so we want you to take advantage of these opportunities because that's nurture for the soul and will help you grow in your Christian life, to grow on the way to maturity. And so it is our physical life that reflects the reality of our spiritual life. But isn't it a tragedy, isn't it a pity, when babies don't follow the natural process of growing to maturity? We realize that if a baby doesn't grow or develop, there's something wrong. And so we go to all kinds of efforts to try to help them to develop, to become fully functioning, mature adults. But no different in the spiritual life. So I'd like us to consider, what are the differences between spiritual infancy and spiritual maturity? First is self-care. Babies need to be fed, cleansed, clothed, protected, and directed. Adults do all that themselves. Babies are ignorant, unskilled, and selfish. They don't know how to speak, when to be silent, and they don't know how to employ their time and strength to benefit others. Babies can't take solid food. They can only swallow and digest milk. And fourthly, babies can't reproduce. One needs to be mature in order to multiply. But these very dynamics are true in the spiritual life. God has ordained all these elements to be reflected in those who are mature followers of Christ. What a beauty to see how God has designed us to grow. And yet Paul says in correction to these believers in verse 2 and 3, even now, you're not yet ready, for you are still of the flesh. After years of being believers, Paul expects there to be a natural process of maturity in their spiritual life. And these Corinthians weren't there. They were still living like infants. This is a theme through Scripture that God expects all of us to mature. The same thing he says in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11 through 14. Paul says, about this we have much to say, and it's hard to explain since you've become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food, for everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, since he is a child. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to discern between good and evil. Do you see how God has made us to mature? For all believers, in all place, at all time, God's desire is this growth. But sadly, that had not happened in the Corinthian believers. They were still in diapers. They were not able to feed themselves. And they were caught up in childish bickering, things that should have been left behind. But the same is true today. Today, there are believers who have been around the church for years, and they're still infants. They haven't learned to feed themselves from the Word of God. They're not engaged in helping others to grow in the knowledge of Christ. They're messy, and they don't clean themselves. How tragic when the natural process of spiritual growth stops. And so I ask, how are we progressing in our spiritual development? How are we growing as mature followers of Christ? Are you developing skill in handling the Scriptures and helping other people to know the truth of God's Word? Are you helping others on their spiritual journey? Are you using your gifts to bless others in the body of Christ and beyond? God wants our spiritual growth to be a priority in our lives, which means we need to dedicate ourselves to growth as believers. Everything else will leave behind. Only God's word and people will last forever. And so that is a worthy investment for our greatest energies. We're made to mature. Let's consider, secondly, things that hinder our spiritual growth. Two in focus. First, lack of good nutrition. Then second, disease. Paul says in verse 3 and 4, for you are still of the flesh, for since there is jealousy and strife among you, Are you not of the flesh and behaving only in a human way? For when one says, I'm of Paul, and another, I'm of Apollos, are you not mere men? Their quarreling, jealousy, and divisions demonstrated they, though being spiritual people, were living as if they were back in category one, acting like natural men. That's what it means to be a fleshly or a carnal Christian, to have the resources of God and yet not act that way. When a believer doesn't live in communion with Christ, they will not reflect the reality of the presence of Christ in them. And so, just like those Corinthian believers in our day and our time, if we're not filling ourselves with the truth of God and walking in the power of the Holy Spirit, we will look for other things to satisfy our souls. Those Corinthians, they were divided over which rock star preacher they were going to follow. And so there was this division within the church. Today, churches are being divided over issues like politics and health care. And we need to remember that neither government nor health programs can save. Only Jesus grants eternal life. And to focus on anything else will only splinter and divide the work of God. We must center only on Christ. And to do anything else will leave us as spiritual infants. But remember, the Corinthians were acting like mere men, like common people. So how do common people act? I like to think of EV. Now, today when you think of EV, you might think of electric vehicles, but I'd like us to think about another EV, and that is empty vessels. EV are empty vessels. And the fact is, God has made us empty vessels. All of us are different. You know, some of us are like this mason jar. You know, it's like when you're thirsty, great go-to. Beautiful, very useful, empty. Others, I like this beautiful goblet. Not as big, but really nice. You know, you might want to drink out of this goblet. And then there are others. You know, I hate to say this, but sometimes I can be like this. You know, great resource if the bucket's full, but it takes some work to fill this vessel. And all of us are the same. We're empty vessels because God designed to fill us so that through us he might pour out to all creation the wonder of his truth and his light and his love. We are to be his agents and to share abroad, to shed abroad the knowledge of the love of Christ. And so God made us empty vessels, and the spiritual person has learned to be filled with God so that our lives would demonstrate the reality of the presence of Christ in us. The spiritual person knows how to feed on the Word of God and live in humble submission in the power of the Holy Spirit, demonstrating the fact that we're no longer natural people, but we've been made alive by Christ. But let's back up and get a fuller picture. You see, since man rebelled back in the beginning in the garden, God designed man for this intimate connection. But when man rebelled, that union with God and our being filled with him was truncated. And so rather than having as the course of our life being filled with the beauty of the abundant flow of God's grace, now we are empty. And the fact is, we just can't live empty. And so the natural man is looking, going around in life, looking for someone to fill the bucket. And we go around, and you know, we don't tell people this, but boy, we're just looking for filling. And that drives so many of the decisions of our lives. This is what it means to be merely human, cut off from God, and looking elsewhere to satisfy our thirsty soul. So what keeps us from growing, what keeps us from maturing is a lack of nutrition. If we're not feeding our souls on the Word of God, if we're not filled with joy as we gather with God's people and sing His praise. Man, I loved all the hymns. Those are fun. You know, what a thrill. Old and new, to sing to the glory of God, to break bread together, to be in among the people of God and share the truth of the Scriptures, to pray for one another, to encourage one another, to share good news with those who are yet in darkness. As we live in communion with Christ, our souls are filled. But lack of nutrition will keep us from growing. And so if you're not intentional about the nutrition that your soul gets, you will not mature as a follower of Christ. The second hindrance to spiritual growth is sin. And sin is simply looking anywhere else but to Him for the satisfaction of our soul. Luther gave two examples. He talked about the thieves beside the cross and identified one as legalism, the other as licentiousness. Legalism is that person who lives as a rule keeper or a goal meter, seeking, striving to accomplish their goals in order to satisfy a sense of self-righteousness. The licentious person is a pleasure seeker who is looking to satisfy, to satiate the craving of the human soul by pleasure, by comfort, and convenience. Disconnected from the flow of God's love, we will look to these two basic sources to fill our empty vessels. Now, every one of us has a natural preference to either rule-keeping or to pleasure-seeking, but if that doesn't work at a season, we can flop and go to the other side. You know, let me start with the legalist. The legalist obeys his parents, gets good grades, runs hard in soccer practice, never been to the principal's office, and he may get into law school, you know, think, I need to get married, have three kids. He's working hard, he's running fast, but somehow the thirst doesn't go away. And he's just wondering, why is life so thirsty when I'm running so hard? The licentious is seeking pleasure to satisfy our desires. Dostoevsky in The Brothers Karamazov paints this powerful window into the darkness of a man seeking to satisfy the passions of the soul. There, in delirium, he details how Brother Dmitri has been given a great sum of money by his loving fiancé to pay a debt he needed to pay. But rather than attending to that responsibility, he takes that money and he uses it for a drunken party with another woman that he's seeking and chasing after. Or pastor and teacher Jack Miller, professor of practical theology in Westminster Seminary, wrote a book, Come Back, Barbara, where he chronicles his daughter's life, who at age 18 had lived up to then a wonderful legalist, a good pastor's kid, but she came to her parents and said, Dad, Mom, I don't want your rules and morals. I don't want to live like a Christian anymore, and I'm not going to do it. And so this book chronicles how she began making this spiral of bad decisions, ultimately ended up living with her drug pusher boyfriend. But one of the things that she discovered as she pursued the satisfaction of her pleasures is that left her just as thirsty as when she was living as a legalist. You see, the reason Luther talked about these thieves is because both legalism, both licentiousness, rule-keeping, pleasure-seeking, will only rob. They will not satisfy. They will not give you what you promise. So sin impedes our Christian growth. Just days before Jesus was crucified, he and his disciples were pressing through the crowded temple quarters, and he stopped. And he started to shout, is anyone thirsty? Is anyone thirsty? He says, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture says, From his inmost being will flow rivers of living water. Rivers of living water. You see Jesus' promise. Jesus promises, oh, he's not just going to fill your bucket. Oh, that's not enough. He wants to fill you to overflowing so that his light, his love, his patience and peace and goodness and joy might flow from your life by the presence and power of the Holy Spirit working in you. Only Christ can satisfy. Only God makes things grow. And so connected with Jesus, we're filled in ways that enable us to become mature followers of Christ. That's his desire for every one of us. So what hinders your spiritual growth? Could it be malnutrition? Perhaps you're not getting the spiritual supply you need to grow as a follower of Christ. Perhaps there's sin that needs to be forsaken. You see, the difference between milk and meat is milk is easy to digest, but you know, it just doesn't last very long. When we learn to nourish ourselves with solid food, you can go the long haul. And yet solid food takes more time. You got to slice it up. You got to cook it. You know, you got to chew it up. But boy, it's made to last. And so it is with the scriptures. There are things that are easy. There are things Peter says, boy, some things Paul writes are hard to understand. There's some meat in there. But God wants us to get to the place that as mature followers of Christ, we're strong. We're not only able to feed ourselves, we're able to care and protect, to guard and to guide others, babies, in their path of spiritual development. Coming to Christ doesn't mean the battle for sin ends. It continues. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. The truth is not in us. But this book will keep you from sin, and sin will keep you from this book. And yet, tragically, I know believers who have been around the church for years, they don't know how to find Ezekiel.
Minor prophets? Were all those guys minors?
God wants us to grow, to know the truth, so that not only can we walk in freedom, but we can help others to grow in freedom as followers of Christ. Repentance is key to spiritual growth. Luther commented that all of life is repentance. We need to be honest that we're going to wrestle with our sinful inclinations until we see Jesus face to face. And so we need to have a lifestyle of admitting we need to change. We need to grow. There's more ahead of us in our spiritual journeys. Repentance means to agree with God that our natural inclinations are corrupt and lead us toward hell. When we confess our sin, we admit our guilt, and we receive afresh his forgiveness and the joy of intimacy with him. That word, metanoia in Greek, actually means a radical change of worldview, that we begin as spiritual people to actually see things, to see the reality of life under the dominion of an almighty God. Today is the best time to put Jesus back at the center of our lives and to deal with any complacency or sin. That's the only way we'll reach maturity in Christ. Jesus has every right to govern every decision. He commands total allegiance. He is Lord of all. And full maturity means we not only recognize that, but we seek to live that moment by moment, day by day. God has made us to mature. Thirdly, let's consider examples of spiritual maturity in both Paul and Apollos. In verse 5 through 8, Paul says, "What then is Apollos? And what is Paul? Servants through whom you believed, even as the Lord gave opportunity to each one. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but God who gives the growth."
He who plants and he who waters are one, and each will receive his wages according to his labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building.
What does maturity look like? How did Paul and Apollos view spiritual maturity? That might give us a good clue for what we're looking for. And you see what Paul says? We're servants of God. Servants of the Almighty. Spiritual men serve God by caring for others. Connected with the Almighty, God's purposes become our purpose. God's desires become our desires. God's affections become our affections. And his labor becomes our labor. He fills us to overflowing so that what comes out of our mouth are Christ's words. What comes out of our hands and feet are the pleasure of Christ. Our lives are to be about his kingdom. And so we serve and we struggle to bless others for the sake of Christ. Notice Paul says about self, neither he who plants or he who waters is anything. God is the one that makes things grow. Pardon me if I pop your bubble this morning, but life is not about you. It's not about your preferences, not about your gender, it's not about your career, it's not about your hobbies, not about your toys. Life is about Christ and the kingdom. It's all, he's the one who makes things grow. He is the source of life and breath and strength and health. And so Paul says, Paul and Apollos, we're one. We're united together for Christ and for the kingdom. And notice, spiritual maturity is this: knowing Christ and serving others. Spiritual maturity, knowing Christ. To know him. And as his bondservants, caring for others. That's the deal. That's the goal every believer is striving for. To know Christ and to serve him in blessing others. The wonder of the gospel is that each of us has been called by God. And all of us are so unique. His way of using you will also be unique. He'll use your temperament, your background, your abilities, your gifting, so that God might be glorified as you serve him. And lastly, did you notice? Paul was looking ahead to the prize. And next week, Dan Mock is going to talk about more about looking ahead to the reward of faithfulness in Christ. God is at work, and his commitment is that we would all mature as followers of Christ. So let's remind ourselves that spiritual maturity, the aim of every believer, is full maturity in Christ. As God's satisfied servants, serving others on the road to maturity. Let's pray. Father, how we thank you for your word. We thank you for your plan to transform us so that Christ might be manifest in our mortal flesh. Lord, work in us. Help us work with you in the process of spiritual growth that we might know Christ and serve others for his sake. We pray it in his name. Amen.